Well, we're looking back today at this unprecedented week here in our city, where the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis has brought peaceful protests, clashes between protesters and police, looting, and a curfew here in New York City. Our WCBS reporter Steve Burns has been out in the streets all week in the middle of it all, and he joins us now. Hey, Steve. Now, between the curfews, the protests, the destruction of some small businesses, and all happening while we're still in the middle of a pandemic, it feels like the city, after this week, is somehow different. How has the city felt to you this week?
It's been really interesting to go out and cover these protests in the city I'm so familiar with. But between the pandemic, between all the boarded up stores, it almost feels like it's a familiar but entirely different place at the same time. A lot of the protests I covered were in Times Square, which is places as news reporters we have to go all the time for different events and things. And it's almost like there was kind of a new life that was breathed into these environments in the form of this anger, this protest. The first one I covered actually was in Times Square. And that was when the police did everything they could to get people out of the street in the middle of the day. We know that the police strategy has kind of evolved from that point. But, you know, this city feels familiar and otherworldly at the same time. It's really interesting.
It's funny. It feels almost here in the city as if after the death of George Floyd, there was some kind of switch flipped. People's anger really came out. We really saw so many people out in the streets, and this becoming sort of our reality for the entire week. I wanted to ask you, since you were out in so many protests, what stood out to you about the peaceful protests?
Yeah, so many of these protests tried their best to stay peaceful, and I know there was a concerted effort among a lot of the organizers of these. I mean, they are organized organically, and the marches didn't really have any kind of specified route or destination. They just went wherever they could fit themselves, and there wasn't a police blockade. But among those who had megaphones and who were kind of putting the directions together, they made a point several times to say, this is a peaceful protest. If you have other goals or another agenda in mind, we don't want you here. There were several moments I can remember back to where there was the potential for a flare-up between protesters and police, whether police had set up some kind of barricade line or they were getting a little too close for comfort marching alongside some of these protesters. And as soon as you could hear words exchanged or someone yelling at someone else, a few other protesters and marchers would step in and say, hey, this is a peaceful protest. Just leave them alone. They'll leave us alone if we leave them alone. It kind of it became incumbent on these protesters from their point of view to put de-escalation into their own hands. They didn't necessarily trust the NYPD to employ de-escalation tactics.
And now that we're at the end of the week, the story today is about the NYPD tactics. I know you've noticed some evolution about how police are dealing with protests and gatherings that have been happening as the week goes on.
Right. And I think back to that first protest I covered in Times Square a weekend ago, and the NYPD's goals were clearly much different. They were telling people to get out of the street, stay on the sidewalk. They were arresting anyone who stayed in the street. A day later, it seemed like their goals had changed, where they were letting protesters stay in the street. They were letting them march basically wherever they wanted to go, and were staying behind them, beside them, staying on the sidelines, just kind of observing. Of course, as night fell, things changed dramatically. I did notice one strategy among some of these marches where police tried to kind of splinter the groups and separate them and make them smaller in the hopes that that would basically bring an end to the march. It was when we saw those groups getting splintered into smaller and smaller gatherings, that's when you started to see some more people acting out. Possibly some fires being set in a trash can or someone shattering the window to a store. Of course, once the curfew set in, that threw a whole other wrench into the plans. And that's when we saw those otherwise peaceful marches start getting broken up just solely because the clock had struck 8 o'clock. I was following a march a couple nights ago where there was virtually no interaction between protesters and police. Nothing was being thrown. No windows were being broken. But at a certain point, about 9:30, 10 o'clock, the police decided, all right, time's up. And officers just, you know, came out of the darkness by the hundreds to break up this march. A few people were arrested. And that's basically how it's been the past few days. This curfew has kind of dictated the rules, whether things are peaceful or not.
You know, earlier we played some of your report where you were seeing looting going on, some of the fires in the trash cans and what was happening in the street. And I was wondering, what were you thinking at the end of that night?
That night is one that's going to stick with me for a very, very long time, because I arrived in Midtown at about Rockefeller Center. It's one of the iconic spots of New York City. And again, it just felt like I was in another world, in a war zone, not in Midtown New York City. Windows were shattered. I was hearing alarms going off inside buildings. Garbage cans were on fire. There was trash all over the street. There were still some scattered looters going in and out of stores with backpacks filled to the brim. And there were police cars speeding up and down in every direction. I have no other words to describe it other than just it was another world, even though I was just south of Times Square and I could see the lights of Times Square when I looked north on Broadway. But it just seemed like an entirely unfamiliar place. And I walked around. There was a souvenir shop that had been windows shattered. There was a Statue of Liberty inside that somehow was missing her torch. And that kind of spoke volumes to me. And it was clear, at least for the first few hours that I was there, and alarms were going off in stores and things were on fire. And the police were almost nowhere to be found. And when I did see them, you know, they were speeding to get to another scene. It was entirely clear that they were kind of caught flat-footed that night and were reacting to all these reports coming in, instead of being proactive in terms of setting up shop and maybe putting up floodlights and doing all these things to deter this looting. That night was just something that's going to stay with me for a long time. It was unbelievable.
It's our WCBS reporter, Steve Burns, who will continue to be out in the streets covering the story for us and sort of taking in for us what has been this unprecedented time in New York City.